From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 10th day of December 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up this afternoon, we'll reminisce a bit with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting about his 32 years on the air here at Illinois Public Media and about his career as we say goodbye to him on Thursday afternoons at the end of this calendar year. We'll also take up the weather forecast today with Mike Tenori. He's at T-Storm in Chicago, and we'll talk about the marketplace, of course. Matt Bennett will be here from agmarket.net. So stay with us here on the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, the United States Department of Agriculture updated the monthly world agricultural supply and demand estimates earlier today at 11 o'clock Central Time. You can see them all right there on our website right now if you'd like at willag.org, and you can sign up for the Illinois Farm Economics Summit that will take place tomorrow. We'll talk about farm policy going forward with Jonathan Kappas. That's free. It's all at willag.org. Look for the IFAS or Illinois Farm Economic Summit. Get yourself registered. You can see the three summit presentations that have already been made there as well. And, of course, there will be one on farmland and the value of farmland on Tuesday of next week. All you have to do is register just once. So if you haven't yet, go ahead and get that done now. Now, the USDA numbers didn't change much. Actually, soybeans and wheat both went down 15 million bushels for their ending stocks or carry out. 175 now for the soybeans, 862 for the wheat, and a 1.7 billion for the corn. Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. Nearby down 2.5 for the corn at 421 and a quarter. December down a penny and a quarter at 409 and a quarter. January soybeans down 5 3/4 at 1152 and 3/4. And the March contract there down 4 3/4 at 1158 and 3/4. Bean oil 20 cents lower. And the bean meal for the day finished $1.90 lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract up 55 cents. The feeders were 57.5 higher. And the lean hogs were $65.10 higher on the afternoon. A quick look at some of the other marketplaces. Crude oil for the day trading now at $46.73 a barrel. That's $1.21 a barrel or higher. And ethanol futures on the afternoon at $1.33.3, just about unchanged for the day. Well, Dan Zwicker's here this afternoon. We're not going to talk about the markets because, well, we're just not going to. Dan's in his last two shows, and I thought it might be fun to reminisce for just a little bit. I want to know, I know quite a bit, Dan, about your career, but not about the earliest part of the career. How did you actually end up as a market analyst?
Well, that's a good question, and it's something that when I graduated from SIU, that I had no idea I was going to end up in market analysis and doing public speaking and all this kind of rigmarole. But while I was in college, I was very active in organizational work. I was president of my fraternity. I was active in Intergreek Council. I got active in student government. I was a university senator, and my best friend in college became student body president my last quarter of the year. So I stuck around. He asked me to stick around for the summer quarter to kind of get his administration started as an administrative assistant. So, I mean, I was really interested in organizational work. I became real good friends with the dean of students at the time because of all my activity with the Intergreek Council and student government and being assistant to the student body president. And of course, my grades weren't necessarily stellar. I was kind of one of those students that just wanted to get by. And that's basically what I did is get by. But he, with the connections of being the student body, knowing the dean of students, I actually got accepted into the School of Higher Education, and I was going to pursue a degree in, university activities. Being maybe being a dean of students at some point in time. But I was just at the point that I just wanted to get out of school and wanted to make some money. And since I, you know, liked organizational work, I had a friend, Larry Mars. He might even be listening from Paris, Illinois. He had already taken a job with Illinois Farm Bureau as a county manager of Monroe County down in Southern Illinois. And he said that Farm Bureau was hiring for people like that. So I interviewed with Illinois Farm Bureau to be a county manager because I thought I would like that because I had been in organizational type work through college and really enjoyed that. And Farm Bureau gave me an offer and I took them up on it. And my first assignment was manager of Christian County Farm Bureau in Taylorville. I went in as a trainee for about 3-4 months and then they gave me a year's contract. At that point in time, I had shook the right hands of the people in Bloomington. Back then it was like 1974. That is when the Soybean Association was making moves to get a checkoff system going. Bill Tebrun was the executive director of the Land of Lincoln Soybean Association. And Jeff Gain was director of commodities. He worked under Dale Butts. Dale Butts was in charge of the commodities division back then. And I helped them, worked real hard and helped them pass that checkoff program in 1974. So all of a sudden an opening pops up in Bloomington. And they give me a call and wanted to know if I'd be interested in coming to Bloomington. There was a position opened up. It was assistant director of commodity programs for information and education. And that was back when Farm Week was just getting started. That was back when farmers were wanting more and more market information about the markets, because that was after the Russian wheat purchase, and then we had, you know, an early frost in 74. We had a short crop, so commodity markets were just going wild after a couple decades of just moving 15 cents a year. So there was a demand for information, and my first job there in Bloomington was basically working with Farm Week magazine and getting all of the commodity type information into that magazine. That back page at that time was called Market Line or something like that. And that was the first recording. We had a daily recording, and Jim Gill was my boss at that point in time, or I worked real closely with Jim. Actually, my boss was Jeff Gain when I first went up there. And Market Line was just a recorded message of telling people what the markets did that day and just minor suggestions of maybe what they should do. And as farmers got an appetite of that, they wanted more and more. They said, "We want you to actually tell us what maybe we should do." And of course, everybody gets nervous about that. You can see the IA lawyers coming around the corner on that one, saying, "Oh no, we don't necessarily think you need to be doing that." But we finally got through that hurdle. Harold Steele was president of Illinois Farm Bureau at that time, and he was a big favor, big advocate of giving farmers that information. If they were requesting it and we got the talent and the skill to give it to them, let's give it to them. So that was back in 75. I went to Bloomington in May of 75, and AgriVisor at that point in time was a piece of paper. It was Dale Buss, Jeff Gain, Jim Gill, and myself trying to devise AgriVisor and start giving advice at that point in time. So I kind of was in the right place at the right time. Jim Gill got me interested in the technical side of the markets, looking at charts. And I was really fascinated by that. So I started charting, and he, about every day, he came in with a different book about charting and all this kind of stuff, because he was a technical analyst. He said, but you still got to understand the underlying fundamentals, what drives those charts. He says, you got to still stay on top of the fundamentals. But he says that chart's going to tell you that the fundamentals are going to be changing. And that's what you got to be prepared for. And you got to kind of think ahead of, okay, the market technicals and this kind of stuff said the market should be going higher or lower, but we don't necessarily know why. So we kept dreaming up, or we kept brainstorming, what are the fundamentals out there that could trigger an up move or a down move? So that's how I kind of got into the analysis part of it. And then the next step was then to get into personalized market advice. So I was the chief market advisor of AgriVisor at that time. Farmers would call me up and start asking me these questions. They said, well, I got XYZ bushels of corn or soybeans. What should I be doing with it? Should I sell today, next week, next month? And then, of course, they'd always tell you, well, I really don't need the money. But I learned a long time ago, when a farmer asks you about the market or what the market is going to do, the odds are very, very high he needs some money. Because he's that's the first part of making that decision. He needs some money. And I go, well, how am I supposed to tell a farmer whether I should sell today, next week, or maybe hold off a couple weeks? It's not an immediate decision, but it was something that was going to have to be done, maybe in the next 30 or 60 days. So that is how I got into cycles. Hal Commodities was one of the forefronts in commodity analysis, and I went down to New Orleans at that time to a three-day seminar and got into looking at market rhythms and market beats, and really got fascinated on repetitive patterns and how the market did repeat. It doesn't repeat exactly. Nothing in this world does exactly the same thing, but you could tell that there is a rhythm to the market. So that's how I got into cycles, and then that's how I was able to help farmers answer that question about, should I sell today, get it over with, should I wait a couple of weeks, or maybe I should wait a month. I would tell them, based upon the cyclical work that I'm looking at, or the way the pattern, the rhythm of the market, you would say that you probably got a couple of weeks before you need to make that decision. Or I would say you probably need to get it done pretty soon. So that's how I kind of got into it, just by accident. And then, of course, back then I didn't even know what a short or a long was. And I remember going out to these County Farm Bureau meetings. Here I was just out of college, just greener than grass. And people ask, well, short or long? And I go, why don't they just call, you either bought or you sold the market, but it was short and long. And so I gave hedging seminars and started giving market outlook seminars. And back then I was so nervous giving speeches that I tried to have notes and all this kind of stuff. And you get lost in your notes and you lose your place in your notes. So I just finally gave up and just threw those out the window and said, these are 3 points or 5 points that I want to talk about. And then I just start ad libbing, and I threw the notes out a long time ago because I kept losing my place in the notes. A total disaster. And to this day, my nightmare, I still have these nightmares of going to a market outlook at a County Farm Bureau and getting down there, getting ready for the podium, and I forgot my notes. So that was a nightmare. That I still have at times of getting ready for a speech and you don't have no notes. So I do remember when Bill Clinton, I think it was, on a State of the Union message, the computer didn't work, so he had to ad-lib a State of the Union address. So my hats were really off for him, because I remember being in those positions where you didn't have no notes and you had to give a speech. But So that's kind of how I got. And fortunately, I had a boss. Now, back then, it was we were in contact with the University of Illinois. Back then, it was Daryl Good, just got hired on as an extension economist. And I can't think of the other guy's name.
Tom Aronimus.
Tom Aronimus was the chief. But then he had Daryl Good, and he had another younger guy with him. And he took off, I think, to another university. And I can't think of what his name was. But those three, we would meet with those three a lot and tell them what we were up to and what we were doing and all this kind of stuff. So that's how I got to know Daryl way back then. And we continued to move forward. And then we got into the FM radio transmission business, where we were, instead of farmers having to make a phone call, we were using the FM sideband. And everybody had a little Agrivisor radio. And it was easy to transmit your information through that radio. That farmer just had to turn on that little FM radio, and that message would repeat. The other state farm bureaus begin to get interested. Indiana got interested. Iowa got interested. Ohio. So Agrivisor then sprung out throughout the Corn Belt. I don't think the American Farm Bureau Federation was too excited about Illinois being the kingpin, but they really didn't have much choice about it, because they weren't doing it, and the farmers were wanting it. And then that even allowed us to go on live at times. We would have live seminars in the evenings. We would go live on that FM radio back in the late 70s and early 80s. And basically have a seminar Corn Belt wide. So, I mean, we were really ahead of our time.
That's just about 17 minutes of a 50-minute discussion I had with Dan. We'll try to get the rest of it up over time before we get to the end of the year. I would think, though I've not decided on this yet, that we'll run the whole of the 50 minutes maybe on January the 1st. That's a Friday, so look forward to that. And our thanks to Dan Zwicker, who has served you, our listeners, for 32 years right here on WILL AM 580. Mike Tenura is now here. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Thank you for being with us on another Thursday. We appreciate that, Mike.
Great being here, Todd, as always.
Hey, so I want to concentrate on South America, and you start on one end of that continent or the other, and then work your way either north or south for me, please.
We'll start in Brazil, which is in the northern soybean and corn areas of South America. They've been in a drought for quite a while, and it did start to rain over the last week in the southern areas. So things have improved a little bit in southern Brazil and in Paraguay. To the north, where about half of soybeans are produced, it hasn't rained all that much until basically the last few days. The rains were scattered. They weren't widespread and heavy, which is what we really would like to see. We will see a few more storms in these central areas today and tomorrow, and then it dries out for about 7 to 10 days. And then the big question will become, what happens after that? Well, we think some storms will return to the region later on this month, but that's not a very bold forecast, because you need to keep in mind that a lot of these areas average anywhere from 10 to 11, even 12 inches in the month of December. So it's going to rain even if it is dry. The rains that we've seen this week have not been impressive. We do have drought in place, so we need to see more rain than this more than likely. And this will be an ongoing story for a while, until eventually we figure out, were corn and soybeans damaged by the dryness, and was this rain enough? And it's kind of the same story in southern Brazil. They were also very dry until recently. They saw better rains than what we saw in central Brazil, and now they are a little bit wetter. They have more rain coming up next week, so we think the dryness story will stay away for a while in southern Brazil and Paraguay. Now, once we leave these areas, we move into Argentina. Argentina also is being affected by drought, just like everybody in South America. It has rained over the last few weeks in much of Argentina, and that's reduced the intensity of drought. Now, they still are in a drought, and they're going to need to see more rain. There will be some storms here and there over the next several days and into next week, but not heavy rain. And once we get beyond that, it still doesn't look very wet. So Argentina is an area that will still need to be monitored. They're only about halfway done planting soybeans, so there's quite a bit of time to go here in Argentina. But if you look at similar La Niñas to the one that we're in at the moment, six of those seven yielded below the yield that WASDE is projecting at the moment. And so that tells us that there is substantial downside risk to crops in Argentina from dryness later on this year and more so next year. So the story is not over there, even though we do have some rains in different parts of South America.
Hey, thank you for the update. I appreciate that.
Yep, you're welcome. Let's chat again next week.
Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Matt Bennett is here now to take a quick look at what happened in Chicago. Post-report after the WASDE figures were released this morning, there weren't a lot of changes, none in fact, in corn on the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate. Wheat and soybeans actually dropped by 15 million bushels each for their ending stocks. How did the trade take it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was interesting because coming into the report, we had corn up 2 to 3, beans up 12 to 15. And, you know, as the report was released, we actually dipped down pretty sharply, then went back up sharply. And that kind of yo-yo exchange went on for a little while. You know, but in grand scheme of things, we actually looks like we're kind of a buying rumors and selling facts today, because corn, as we talk, is down a couple, beans are down 4 or 5. You know, and I think that a big reason for that is that trade was expecting a fairly friendly report, which I think most of us knew. December is typically not one in which we get a lot of major adjustments. But with them expecting a friendly report, I think that's part of the reason why you didn't really get a bullish reaction.
Were there things that traders were watching for that didn't take place today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the couple of things that people were maybe looking for today that they didn't get were maybe a little bit of an uptick in exports, both for corn and beans. Now, they did change China from 13 to a little over 16 million bushel, you know, as far as their imports of world corn. And so, you know, if that's something that happens, then it just continues to open up the door, you know, for more U.S. corn heading towards China, especially, you know, given the fact that it's the cheapest corn on the world market right now. So today you've got the dollar getting hit pretty hard again. That's certainly going to lend a little bit of a hand if this market wants to move lower. I think it'll give us a little bit of support.
Any final word before I let you go?
No, I just, you know, it's probably going to be blasé here for a little bit because I don't know what's really going to move the market in a huge direction either way.
Hey, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.